The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on the 7th day of March 2005. In studio, we have, we had Marcia Duer. She was online. We have Desi Andrews in studio and also Dr. William Veith. And I just ran across something on the web. And let me get through this real quick and I'll get your guys' comment. In this comes out of the International Herald Tribune in Paris, dated yesterday. The Indian government is placing a long-range wager that an increasingly prosperous population can be coaxed in part, at least physically, with its boundless hoards of gold. A policy floated recently would allow Indians to buy virtual or paper gold in denominations of low as $2 instead of investing in necklaces, bangles, and coins. It is a step, analysts say, toward bringing millions of poor Indians into the banking system and unlocking the untapped investment potential of more than $200 billion worth of privately held gold.
Where have we heard that before?
In India. Now, the Indians are the world's biggest gold consumers, with more than half the country's savings tied up in physical assets. Particularly among the very poorest, Indians are prone to spending much of their income to acquire the metal, locking up their assets in the resulting hoards, as they're calling it. Economists say such a high rate of hoarding constrains the Indian economy, which is short of capital. The economy is projected to grow into the world's third largest after the United States and China by 2040. We keep sending the jobs over there. Details of the program disclosed in four brief sentences in the government's budget speech last month, I should say, are still under discussion. But the basic proposal is this. For funds traded on gold exchanges that allows gold units to be bought and sold without physical possession, much like buying shares in Coca-Cola without having to stash the beverage at home. Cute analogy. Initially, the metal itself would be retained by the bank as the seller of a paper gold certificate, and the buyer could at any time trade in the paper to receive the current market value of quantity of gold originally bought, not just the amount of money originally spent. The long-range vision, experts say, is to put the value of the gold to work, perhaps by allowing banks to sublet gold deposits, just as they lend out deposited cash. Doing so could inject more capital into the economy than top multinationals have done. Indians last year poured about twice as much money into gold, about $10 billion, as foreign direct investors poured into India. Equally, paper gold could make shareholders of the 700 million villagers the dwellers who, though starkly poor, purchase about two-thirds of India's gold. They are exposed to only traditional ways of investing, Managing Director of Prudential ICICI Mutual Fund said. This would be a different way of getting them to participate in the capital market.
In other words, we can't allow them to invest the way they want to. We're going to force them into something else.
Well, that's exactly right. And one guy got it here. His name is Pinak Mata. An asset manager, he says, what is the reason I'm buying gold? The reason for my purchase is a lack of trust in the present institutions. Now, why would I buy physical gold and give it back to the same guys who are the cause of my not trusting the present system?
Right. This is just another stuff. Confiscation plan that the governments do. They artificially suppress the price of gold by flooding the market with it when it starts to rise. And then when they flooded the market with it and the governments are out of gold and the people have it, they go confiscate it again.
Well, and it's not just that the governments are out of gold. It's that the IMF has no foothold in there if they have any substance.
Oh, speaking of which, the criminal that they just yanked out of the Pentagon, what's his name? Mr. Wolfowitz?
Yeah.
Is
head of the World Bank.
Yeah, but who's George Bush to nominate him as being the World Bank?
You'll see there, that gives you a clue, doesn't it?
Europe has the right to put their guy into the IMF. Oops.
Right.
Oops. And what's George pushing this year? Oh, that's right. Free Trade Area of Americas. An American president, an ascended king. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good.
And it's all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now, that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, let's go to the phones. Richard in Alabama. Hello, Richard. Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
About a year ago, I heard some nut on the radio suggest this plan for protecting your home, and it involved dividing your property into a tiny parcel and a large parcel and attaching the PPIN to the tiny parcel so that if they ever used your tax ID to seize your land or outrageously overtax your land, you could let the tiny parcel go back to the government, and you could keep the large parcel, which would not be recorded at the courthouse.
So we're getting a lot of head shakes here.
Won't work, huh?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. If you're saying, I don't know what you're saying. What's a PPN?
PPIN? What
PPIN.
Is that?
PPIN. It's a, well, I really don't know what a PPIN is, but it's a number that's on the assessment sheet. Every parcel has a PPIN.
Well, I would say, you know, a PIN is a personal identification number, so maybe it's a property personal identification.
No, it's a PPIN.
Yeah, property personal identification number. I don't know.
I haven't
guessing.
Progress.
Never seen it before.
It's on property assessments in Alabama.
Hmm.
Well,
not in Texas.
So the idea is to, if you have a large parcel of property to postage size some of that stuff off. So when they come to get it, yeah, but okay, but what is in the land office? I mean, that property has been platted out.
Yeah, how do you take away the the 8/9 of it?
Yeah, how do you get around that one just by giving them a token?
I don't really
piece
know.
Of dirt?
I guess it was a bogus idea.
Well,
but
yeah,
it won't work.
No,
not the way it's explained. It won't.
No, not at all.
Is there any modification of the plan that would possibly
work? We don't know
because
we don't know what you're talking about. It's hard to comment on something we don't know anything about.
We just haven't heard of it before, so we can't really comment as to whether it would work or not work. We've never heard of it. It doesn't sound like on its face that it's very viable.
I just keep coming up. I keep listening to the shortwave, and I get all these
theories,
ideas and theories, sure. And of course
nothing. Oh, what the heck?
Nothing ever works.
Well, something does work sometime.
Well, I appreciate your call, Richard. And if we turn anything up on that, we'll include that in a future show. You know, the one thing that bugs me, I mean, I said this to Marcia Dewar last hour. You know, we're spending a whole lot of time trying to run and duck and hide and get off the radar screen. I'm tired of this. Yeah, can we get our damn government back? Can we what we paid for?
Well,
can we just keep it?
You think you're bummed? My oldest son was just picked up by the Lee County Police to do a 6-month term for criminal trespass.
On his own property.
Because he was found guilty of criminal trespass on his own property where he lived all the 4 years that it was in adjudication.
Now, what did they do about the appeal?
Well, he put it on appeal, and they asked for the transcript to go up in form of papyrus, and it was not objected to by the trial court. So it sat in appeal for 1 year at the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals has sent a notice to the district court, to the trial court, to say that they were in violation, that they either had to prove that they had contested his request for the transcript, or they had to permanently abate the appeal.
So basically, the appeals court said, get your stuff together, you made a mistake, or you better prove this.
Right.
So it's been languishing there for better than a year.
So they had to have the transcript in or the to show proof that they had objected to the transcript by October 28th of last year, and they didn't because they hadn't. And so what the judge did is he held this hearing, of which Rhett was never noticed, and I found out at the last minute, and I went down in Rhett's stead because Rhett lived in Lee County at that time and was an hour away, had no way to get here. And the judge, the hanging judge, his name is Sam Robertson, a retired appellate court judge that lives in Wimberley that has no oath of office and no authority whatsoever to sit, screamed and yelled in this hearing that I attended. He didn't ever go to Informa Pauperis. He never even went to anything to do with that transcript and why it hadn't been set up. He said that Rhett was absolutely lawless, that he didn't have any respect for the law in Texas because, you see, a JP named Barbara Bembry 4 years earlier had branded Rhett Republic of Texas, which was a lie. He sued her for slander and was charged with a felony for that, which the jury found him not guilty. And anyway, so it went back to the appellate court, so they sat on it for another 6 months and all of a sudden just opened it up out of the blue, told him to submit his brief, and the appellate court, even as we speak, is in contempt of court of their own order. So he put in his brief because there was never a complaint or an information, and you cannot have a charge and be tried in this state without a complaint or information, and they upheld the trial court. And upheld the sentence, and Rhett had never even had a traffic ticket, and they gave him 30 days in jail, 18 months probation, $1,000 fine for living on his own property. And now they just picked him up.
Well, you know, the lesson that's being taught here, Desi, that you don't fight City Hall, you don't argue with the judges, you be compliant, you say yes, sir, or no, ma'am, and that's it. And then
I'll go to jail for being on my own property.
But there's ways that you can pay your homage to the system and stay out of jail. Now, obviously, your son still thinks he's a free person, and he's not kowtowing. you guys keep catching these guys in their judicial errors.
But he knew that he couldn't be guilty of criminal trespass when he was on his own property. He knew that the policeman that picked him up to file the complaint was not the owner of the property as she was listed. Since she quit the police force and moved away, she was listed as the owner of the property, was the only one that could testify against him. And when the trial came up, she was nowhere to be found.
Case dismissed.
So the judge simply crossed her name and put down two more people as the owner of the property.
See, what did
You can't change names on an official complaint. If the parties that made the complaint don't show up in court, case dismissed.
Oh, gee, really?
That's the way I thought it always was supposed to work.
Tell it to Rhett, who's sitting in jail right now.
No, they change names. They change entities that you're suing. When I sued the IRS agent that was taping things to my front door, summonses to my front door, and peeling the shellac off, guess what? I sued her personally in state court, and all of a sudden the United States government came in and removed it to federal court and substituted themselves. And all of a sudden I was fighting the United States federal government in federal court, not one person in state court.
And if you're going to call a witness, is there a courtroom big enough in the land for the United States?
Well, I haven't seen one sit on a witness stand yet. The United States government sit on a witness
stand. Well, the judge in Rhett's case struck out the name of that was listed on the complaint, Cynthia Krueger, substituted two other names who couldn't possibly have been the owner of the house. Now the information doesn't match the complaint, and it can't possibly go forth because it's voided. But it did.
Can somebody hold on here a second? I just had a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is judicial misconduct. And by the way, I can believe this judge is in Wimberley. You ever been to Wimberley?
Mm-hmm.
It's a leftover from the 60s.
Well, he retired to Wimberley from Houston.
Okay.
His name's Sam Robertson, and he's the meanest man I have ever seen in a courtroom.
And is there any entity whatsoever within the current jurisprudence system that has any oversight against these people who are just doing their own thing? They're making up their own rules as they go along.
Well, the appellate court has to uphold the law, and they didn't. And so they upheld the decision of the trial court. I'm going to buy the transcript because the transcript is the most damning instrument that ever happened. We have gone all these years and not gotten the transcript.
But
the judge refused to let Rhett talk. He could not cross-examine. The prosecutor could say anything he wanted to the witness on the stand. Rhett was not allowed to cross-examine.
John, what it amounts to is if you become a target,
no matter what,
they do whatever they want, and they have the power to do it. And the more of a threat you are to them, the more chance you are of becoming a target. And Rhett is a major threat to them because Rhett really knows the law, and he knows it very well. He knows procedure. He knows law. He knows how to write his motions, his briefs. He knows what to ask, and he is a huge threat to the system that is trying to impose.
Cotman Transmission had his van stolen from his driveway for a check that they had voided. They never asked for payment. They stole his van. They have it to this day. That was almost 4 years ago. He cannot recover his van. He's tried to get it through the courts. He has no voice in the courts. They won't hear him. And so Cotman Transmission and a guy, the owner, James Nicolotti, stole his van. It's still registered to this day in his name because they didn't take it legally and they can't change the title.
See, we know who
unless
holds.
They apply for a salvage title.
They can't.
We know who has the power. And the question becomes for each of us individually is, do we submit or do we resist?
Thank you, because that was just my point. And this is why I said to Desi, I mean, don't you get the abject lesson here?
Yes.
The abject lesson is sit down, shut up, and don't make any waves.
Right. So you can either, there's only two choices. When the government has targeted you or when you're dealing with the government, you can either submit or you can resist. There are no third choices. Now, the degree or the level to which you resist, if you decide to resist, is always something that you can, you know, determine and for a survival and adaptability. But you either have to either just be their little whipping boy slave or you resist.
Okay, and there's your two choices. Each of those choices, to me, is not a choice, because if I resist what they're doing, well, then I then become a target.
That's right.
So isn't it better for me just to say, well, I'm sorry, my apologies?
It might be. Each person has to decide that on their own.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I just warned him last week. If any governmental agencies come around me, you better make sure that your life insurance is paid up.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, I don't give a damn, and I'm not going to play their stupid little games.
Well, you know, we're doing the same thing over in Iraq. Are they going to resist or submit? They're resisting.
Oh,
they're blowing up things.
But they're terrorists, you see. I mean, they're fighting for their own independence.
And so are we if we resist. We're going to be labeled terrorists, too, John.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Let's go through the phone calls here. I mean, we were, folks, yeah, you missed us because we were on commercial break. I mean, Bill, you said it during the break. You got three choices, the third of which is to leave the country.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere.
Well, that's not really a choice because, you know, it's going to... Same
where can
thing's
you
gonna
go?
Happen. There's no place to hide. They go wherever they want. They print the fiat currency in all these countries in the world. The only countries that are not under the international bankers' umbrella are the ones we're bombing right now or threatening to bomb. And, you know, otherwise there's nowhere else to go and hide. So you really only have two choices, and that's to submit to the tyranny or resist the tyranny.
And since we've been so kind in America here to farm out so many jobs to our friends in India now, they're now going after the Indians' wealth. What a wonderful plan, folks. So you're not allowed to have anything.
That's right.
The thing about it is that we have a larger population than they do. And so if we can inform enough people, then they have to go away. They are in the minority.
Don't count on these people here in this country doing it. I only gave away 500 bumper stickers. They could be hearing this program right now, Desi. I'm pissed. I am angry because they're closing the curtain on us right now
you
as we speak.
You think you're angry? An innocent man went to jail for 6 months. A good man.
Let's go back to the phones. BL in Texas. Hello, BL.
Hi, John. Hi, Desi and Dr. Bill.
Hi.
Hello.
I had a legal question for you, a two-parter, but I'd just like to say the U.S. government is like a bully on the playground. If you don't resist, things escalate.
They're going to do it anyhow. I was just, during the break, BL, I was just talking about Zun Tzu, and some of the teaching there is that you never wage a war until you've already won, or you never have a battle unless you've already won the war, basically. They've already got everything. What they don't have is total and 100% compliance. Congratulations, that's what your war on terrorism is all about.
What they don't have is authority. They only have force. What they don't have is authority.
Well, I'll tell you what, Des. I mean, your son's sitting in jail right now. That guy,
They did it because of force.
Well, they did it because of force, but it has nothing to do with standing in law or positive law or anything else. It's because the guy with a badge had a piece of paper that said he had the authority. Where's the law in that when they violate their own authority?
Well, the Patriot Act, the Lollipop Act, the Love and Kisses Act, tyranny by any other name is still tyranny.
The Patriot Acts and Homeland Security was done and designed for one reason and one reason only, not only in this country but worldwide, to suppress anybody that's standing in their way. That's what this whole damn thing is all about.
Well, if we don't learn how to say and do peace, we have had it. And it isn't in war, because you cannot stop war by waging war. It is peace. Please go to petitionforpeace.net and sign up for a petition for peace. Please help me there.
All right, BL, the second part there.
Well, I wanted to hear your views on the debt invalidation process versus the use of the promissory note. And are you familiar with Vic Medean's treatise on the Uniform Commercial Code, Cracking the Code?
I know Cracking the Code, yes.
Any comments on the accuracy of the contents?
I know Cracking the Code. The first Cracking the Code was so full of holes that I just didn't pick up another one. I understand the last one. I hear good things about it.
I have the fifth, but I'm in legal deep water here by trying to use it, so...
What method did you use?
I hired the people that were selling the book unlawfully, it turns out, to do some legal work for me, and now I'm hoist by my own petard. That's why I'm interested in the debt invalidation process versus your promissory note process you've talked about before.
Were you trying to, erase a debt of some kind?
Yes. Well, I purchased a defective vehicle, and the manufacturer, the distributor, and the dealer wouldn't do anything about it, and it all went downhill from there.
Was it financed?
Yes.
And I guess it probably depends on the process you use to eliminate the debt.
Did you do the Lemon Law at all?
The Lemon Law doesn't work unless the manufacturer allows it to work.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know if you want to get into the details of how you did it, but there are procedures that have worked for people, and there are procedures that have not worked for people. So
I used one of the ones that didn't work.
Yeah. Well, again, you got to do your homework, and you got to use ones that work.
And you know, we have to be really careful what we say on the air about anything specific, because people tend to take things and then get in trouble just by us putting something out on the air. And, you know, I get emails that say, oh, gee, get me out of my mortgage, just send me the form and let me know. I mean, hello. And you know, I don't do that, number one. And number two, I just helped somebody a couple of weeks ago, and it just absolutely turned around and backfired on me because the kid didn't have any background or knowledge.
You know, sometimes you can make mistakes that are irreversible, so you don't want to get into this stuff. You don't want to do it at all unless you are very solid and grounded in what you're doing, and you can't depend on other people. You've got to know it yourself.
Well, that's right.
And it sounds to me that you took a monetary loss of sorts on this, but if it was finance, you were having these problems. You know,
better to take a hickey on the credit report and give it back.
I was just going to say I would have drove it through the dealer's front door,
put
it back on his floor, and said, here, resell this to the next sucker, and taken a hit on my credit report.
Well, 2 years of death threats and breaking and entering.
Over a car?
Oh, yes. I work hard.
All right. Well, this sounds like it's story unto itself, BL. I'm sorry if we can't cover it here today. I thank you for your call, sir. John, Jim, Bill, Xerxes, and others, just hang on. We'll get to your calls right after this.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanols, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calbin Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calbin Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbinPureSoap.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let's get back to the phone calls here in one moment. Callers, just hang on. Bill, what I want you to do is very quickly a thumbnail sketch of what we were talking about. The whole money thing, how they created the trust God, because we gave last hour, if you weren't with us, folks, we gave example of a 1935 bill, and I think that was Series C, was that?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter, but it was a silver certificate. And if you look at the back of the bill, the one thing that's minus from the Illuminati-laden back of the bill was In God We Trust. Now, if you look at 1957, I think that's G series. If you take a look at that, on the back of the bill, In God We Trust. Now, Bill, you said that this may be a trust that they have set up.
Right. You know, at this point, this is all theoretical. We're still coming up with trying to figure out what they've done to us. I got very interested in the trust issue about a year and a half ago when actually Desi and Marcia Dorr and I drove up to Dallas and listened to Al Addisk give a long talk. And Al Addisk has done a lot of research. He believes that we're in all kinds of trust, layer after layer after layer of trust. Some people think we're in what are called unilateral contracts. But it's really easier for us to get ensnared in a trust relationship than a contract. Because in a trust, for example, I could name my cat the beneficiary of my trust. I could name a newborn child. So the beneficiary of the trust does not have to agree to it, doesn't even have to know it's been named the beneficiary, but it gets to enjoy the benefits of the trust. So a lot of times we can be caught in trust as in a trust relationship and never even agree to it and don't even know it. So what we started doing is looking at for the different kinds of trust relationships. What we think is what Desi's son Craig came up with just recently is the trust that we're all in, the public trust that we're all ensnared in at the national level is possibly a trust called God with capital G, capital O, capital D. Because that's certainly not the way when we're talking about the deity God, we write it with capital G and a small O and a small D. If you look in the different legal dictionaries, Ballantine's and Black's dictionary, there is no definition of an all capital name God. So we also know that they have set us up with what we call the straw man, our personal names in all capital letters. And that's what the account that our Social Security number is assigned
right.
to. So if we go back to the national level, let's say theoretically, hypothetically, that they've got this trust named God, and it's spelled G-O-D in all capital letters. Okay, that it says on the back of our money, in God we trust. We the people have been put into this trust, the public trust. Okay, now, at the state level, we know the state of Texas is a corporation under the federal corporation.
Right.
Okay. All the states are corporations. There's a state trust, a sub-trust of the national trust. Now, it's possible that when people can look on their birth certificate, they can look on anything the government sends to you, anything on a credit report, anything from a bank, your name is in all capital letters. Now, that's not me. Because I don't spell my name that way. That's some other entity that the government set up and assigned a Social Security number to that. If we think of my all capitals name as a trust, okay, then who is the beneficiary of that trust? Who is the trustee? I think it's possible that I, the flesh and blood man, is the trustee of that trust, and the beneficiary is, again, the public at large.
And the grantor was your mother.
And the grantor was my mother on the birth certificate.
Yeah, because the father's name never appears on the birth certificate.
Right. Okay. Now, if I, the flesh and blood man, am the trustee on that sub-trust with the all caps name, then that means I have duties and obligations to the public. And I have to perform on those. And if I don't, I'm in trouble. And it's not a contract I have with the government. I became... And the way I became the trustee was by acting as the trustee. I did things to put myself in that position, not knowing it, but I did it.
So basically, the government declares you the corporatized individual that they create with all caps, the trustee that's the one that's supposed to actually perform in that straw man.
Right.
Capacity is the flesh and blood man.
Right. For example.
Well, except let's not call it a straw man. It's a trust because a fiduciary duty is so much more serious than a corporation. A corporation has limited liability. A fiduciary, a trustee has none.
Right.
When it's a trustee, I mean, it is one of the most, I'm a trustee on a number of trusts, and it is an absolutely serious position. I have to be absolutely trustworthy. I have to take care of the assets for the beneficiaries of the trust that I'm a trustee. I mean, it's far, far more serious than if you were an officer of a corporation.
Right. For example, let's say the IRS comes after for a tax, what they say is a tax liability. The trust owns the tax. The all capitals name owns the tax, but I get charged with willful failure to file
and
because I'm the trustee.
Because
I have the duty to perform.
And he had the duty and the obligation to perform for that trust for the beneficiary, which was the public. It's the first time I ever saw any obligation.
And all things being fair, what was it? P.T. Barnum said that there was a sucker born every minute. That we don't even have the ability to declare ourselves one or the other. We should be able, by knowing this, saying, you know what? I don't want to be a trustee in this trust.
Well, then there's such a thing as a resignation.
We're going to try
If you got into it by some act that you did by
taking some proactive step for behaving as the trustee.
Applying for that Social Security number.
Using it as a PIN number. You know, you get a credit card, it's not activated
until you use the PIN number.
So we applied for something, we wanted a job, we used that in some manner, and so we activated our position as trustee.
I signed papers. I've been signing 1040 since I was 16 years old. So not lately, I haven't.
And it's signed under penalty of perjury, and that's done by the trustee because the trust, the William Veith Trust, can't sign, so the trustee has to sign for it.
So,
but his obligation is to the beneficiaries, and if the beneficiaries are the public, then indeed these people that go to jail are guilty.
Because what happened in 1933 when we filed bankruptcy? The United States Congress, the government, became the due holders of this bankruptcy trust. And we have never gotten out of that. We have been bankrupt since 1933. So what do you do in a bankruptcy situation? What do you
have a trustee.
There you go.
You have a trustee. And you always have a trustee. Everything is a trust. You just have to see, am I subject to, is this agency telling me I have a duty and obligation? If they're telling me I have a duty and obligation, I know my position in this particular trust. I'm the trustee.
But they're telling you have certain obligations, but they're not telling you the mechanism in which
because if you're a trustee, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and trust law is a law. And you know, of all the researcher friends that I have, when we talk about trust, they get absolutely blown away. Marcia and I have far, far more in-depth knowledge about trust, and to me they're very simple. To Marcia they are, but to the guys that were taught, you know, I talked trust to Ralph Winterode, and he goes, huh?
Yeah.
You know, because they think that trusts are, I mean, they don't understand.
See, Ralph Winterode Al Adisk even said that the Federal Reserve System is a trust.
You bet it is. It has trustees.
The money system is a trust. They print the money. They own the paper and ink. They bought it. They're the legal title holders to what we call money, and we are the beneficiaries because we get to use and enjoy it.
And we're the public.
And pass it around.
And evidently, the United Nations is a trust. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the first block trusteeship council.
It's layer after layer after layer of trust.
So the thing we have to do is determine, do we have a duty? Is some agency telling us we have a duty and obligation? Bingo. That means they think I'm a trustee. Oops, don't want to go there. I think I'll resign from that position. But I have to name somebody else when I go. Because we can't leave the trust without a trustee.
Right. George W. Bush.
Oh, that's a good one.
See, that seems to be the mech.
Ted Kennedy, when he got sued, that the only thing that people got from the suit was the cat, the cat was the trustee.
Right. See, the cat was the asset of the trust.
The asset of the trust.
That appears to be the mechanism that they're using to compel performance from us.
Right.
Because if I were a sovereign, the government could not compel performance from me because I'm above the government. I created the government.
But if they say that's a benefit that you're getting, a privilege and a benefit, then you know the position you're in, which is that of
beneficiary.
And so, how many times have we heard that, there's so many things that the government does that it's a privilege to you? They've repeated that many, many
that's
times.
That's right, because you're a beneficiary, because you're one of those public. You are the one on the back of that dollar bill.
And we can bring in now public policy, because here's policy for the trustees out here.
Right.
Okay.
No?
I mean, anybody that ever watched Star Trek has to relate to the dollar bill. These are the trustees who are
the United States of America.
That's the Congress. And they sit in trust in
In God We Trust, the trust.
In the trust. And who do they got? Who is in the trust?
It's the big fat one spelled
out.
The one.
The one.
The one.
The Borg. Resistance is futile. You are the one. So the one is the public.
You got to say one thing for them. They are mighty, mighty creative.
Aren't they smart?
And you know, folks, have you ever thought about this?
Brilliant.
We have more people in law school right now getting ready to graduate than there are practicing attorneys here in the United States right now. Is that not a scary thought to you?
Well, what's scary? It's scary. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. John in Texas. Hello, John.
Hey, John. I wanted to say thank you for everything that you guys are doing. I think you're doing a tremendous job.
We're trying.
And, much appreciated across this whole great country, I'm sure. Wanted to first ask if there's a place to get more information on Truth Seekers. meeting times and what you guys are all about, et cetera?
Let me ask my producer here. He's asking Truth Seekers. Is there a website for them?
No, there's no website.
Randall's name? We could probably give Randall's name.
Yeah, we can. Do I have Randall's number?
What's the location to meet at again?
Okay, hold on here, because it varies.
It varies. Tonight it's at Serrano's at Lincoln Village.
Yeah, Lincoln Village, IH-35 and 290. If you want his number, it's 512-577-5394.
And his name is Randall Mock.
Yeah, I've been after him for years now to set up a simple website that they can change.
Hey, it's lucky he had an email.
I know.
Trust me.
Well, it's something as important as this, though. I mean, you got to put up the roadmap and the signs.
I mean, he can fix any appliance, yeah. Anything. He's a master, but he... Mm.
The websites is beyond him. All right. Anything else, John?
Yeah. You guys are meeting again, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, right, Desi?
Right.
Okay.
Second and fourth Sunday of every month.
Gotcha. Okay. I just had a quick question. If it was possible, when you guys were talking about Agenda 21 and biodiversity treaty over the last couple weeks, to include the link to the, not to the documents themselves, because I've been reviewing them since the last week's presentation, but some of the sections that you guys might go into in depth or in detail, if that might ever be possible to list on the site.
Okay, I'll link them over to John's webmaster.
And I don't know if the 54 sustainability treaty relates biodiversity treaty, but that might be really interesting to dive into.
Okay.
If it was after 1947, I'll bet it is.
One of your guests on 14th mentioned that about the population reduction and in regards to natural resources.
Yeah, they've looked at the entire game board, and they think that 1 billion people on the face of the planet is manageable along with the assets that the Earth owns, or I'm sorry, somebody does. That, yeah, 1 billion people is the magic mark. Now, the only thing they got to figure out is how to get rid of the other 2 billion.
Right.
Which is not going to be easy because we're the only species that can proliferate 365 days a year. Well, except, you know, cycling, but, you know, we don't go into heat twice a year, okay? That's the best way I can explain it.
Well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. That was crass, but it was true. Jim in North Carolina, thanks for holding, Jim.
Yes, hello. I talked to y'all a week or two ago trying to find out more information about discharging debts, and so far I'm way over here in North Carolina, and I haven't had any luck finding any information to get better educated. I don't know any websites. Y'all weren't able to give me anything before. And so I'm still...
Well, what are you specifically looking for? I mean, the world is full of information. What are you specifically wanting?
Well, just a good background on discharging debts.
Have you done a Google on debt elimination on the Internet? There's, you know, the reason is there's no one way. And whichever way you do it, you've got to know what you're doing, because if you don't do it step by step, and, you know, always different little kinks come up during it. So there's, you can't give a formula. You've just got to know the theory behind it, the concept. You can look at a whole bunch of different programs and see how they did it and kind of tailor it to your own needs and then go for it. It's really not the kind of thing you can have somebody tell you how to do.
And there are a bunch of threads that you could subscribe to that have information all the time.
Well, I just did a Yahoo search. I didn't do it on Google. I did it on Yahoo. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think there's about 10 pages after that. So there's at least 75 to 100 and on debt elimination.
And you can subscribe to Yahoo groups, and they talk about it.
If you're not grounded in the research behind it,
then you'll be in trouble like the first caller.
You're going to be in trouble. So it's not something that you can just say, hey, send me over how to do this.
Yeah, somebody else do it for me.
It'll get you in trouble every time. Better off not doing it at all.
And be aware that a lot of these debt elimination are by these companies that say that they're nonprofit to reduce your credit card debt.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, and what this is money that's put up by the credit card companies. I've had so many people just lie right to my face, and I've asked them, who's funding this? If you're a nonprofit, how are you paying your people? You know, they will not tell you. The money's coming from the credit card people because they want their principal back, because things are shaky. They want their money back in. So be careful when you're looking at debt elimination that you don't get hooked into one of these let's make a deal credit card representative companies.
Well, I know all the basics on it, but, I mean, you know, is there no one that I can call that can put me in the right place. I don't even necessarily want to try to eliminate any debt right at the moment. I just want to get more versed.
Then go to Threads and join Threads that deal with this. Commercial redemption at yahoo.net. Yahoo is a thread. That's one I'm on, and they discuss this all the time.
And it's commercial redemption.
It's a Yahoo group. You can join it. It's called Commercial Redemption.
So just go to Yahoo and look at the groups, because there will be a lot.
There's two guys on there that post that have books for sale, that you could even buy their books. Yeah. And one's named Stephen Gottfried, and the other is David Robinson. They've got websites and books that they sell and material. And
but if you follow the thread, you'll get a lot of information.
And look real carefully before you leap, because
right.
as Bill said earlier, you can do things that you can't undo.
It's commercial. Once again,
commercial redemption on the Yahoo groups. Go to Yahoo groups.
And just punch in.
You have to join.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't know any websites for the Stephen Gottfried or the other fellow?
No, I don't.
Yeah, David Robinson's like mainpatriot.com or something like that. You'll see he posts on there every day.
Yeah.
So you can go back and look at archives and look up Stephen Gottfried and David Robinson.
And there's all sorts of links, and there'll be web pages. You just have to keep searching.
It's easy to find. You just got to spend 15 minutes looking.
All right.
Got to know where to look. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim. Commercial redemption. Don't forget that. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. I was wondering, I had a question for Desi. Do you still have seminars in the Round Rock area?
No.
In Austin, she does.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't. I haven't done a seminar for several years. I just teach classes twice a month.
Okay, I was wondering, I teach
classes on the second and fourth Sunday at People's Pharmacy at 3801 South Lamar.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to, what do I have to do to attend?
Show up.
Come on down.
Oh, excellent. That's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Plenty of room. Just bring a shoehorn.
People's Pharmacy.
Bring $10. Everybody that comes usually gives Desi a $10 donation, because she puts on a good 3-hour class every Sunday.
And sure. it'll be well worth your $10, I assure you.
Let me ask you this: have you ever thought about filing a writ of error for your son?
Yes, I think we've done a writ of error.
Okay, all right. I was thinking about that when you were discussing what.
But thank you very much. You know, I'm not sure he's done a writ of error, but I'll look and see. We've got habeas all over the ying right now, but.
Yeah, there's habeas, but that just makes them produce him, out of the.
I produce you that. I promise you that if he's produced before any kind of a judge, that he won't be held. This is bogus, bogus, bogus.
And without having to file the writ of error, but I that might get their attention if you file a writ of error.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, Bill. Thanks. And that's the second and fourth Sunday every month at People's Pharmacy, 3801 South Lamar. Starts promptly at, well, almost promptly at 2 p.m.
But remember, for petitionforpeace.net, that's Rhett's baby. Let's show some support for Rhett and go sign up for a peace petition.
I wonder what wonderful meal they'll be serving him tonight.
I don't want to think about it. We'll go on to the next caller.
Xerxes. Hello, Xerxes in Texas.
Yes, is it too late to start a legal defense fund?
Four.
Well, I tried one of those, what do you call them, my free-to-go deals.
What kind of deal?
You know, my under arrest, my free-to-go, can't proceed without assistance of the counsel.
And we missed the question.
Well, I guess, so what's your next step? Like, after they still write you up anyway?
Did you say, am I under arrest?
Right.
Am I free to go?
Correct.
I can't proceed without assistance of counsel?
Yeah, twice.
Okay, and they did stuff anyway?
Yeah, they just kept going.
That's what they do. Well, you can go and put the officer on the stand and say, ask if I was under arrest, did I ask if I was free to go? That establishes the seizure, so I, in fact, was seized. Is that correct? Did I inform you that I couldn't proceed without assistance of counsel? Yes. Did you proceed anyway? Yes. I ask that the case be dismissed, because everything after that point cannot be used in evidence against me.
So,
that includes your driver's license.
Question him in court. Let him. You got a court date set yet?
Not yet. Oh, I told his chief, and he said there's no problem, of course.
Well, of course, put him on the stand and impeach him. Okay?
And, sure. So I have to wait till I get to the actual hearing to do anything.
Right. Make sure
they're telling me it's a special category for traffic or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's special. It's just called commercial. Ka-chink, ka-chink.
It's the bling-bling court.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's the RICO laws, I guess, but they're on people aren't getting tried on.
Yeah, well, ka-chink, ka-chink.
Okay, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you. We have just a couple minutes left. If you want to call in real quickly with a pointed question and not a long dissertation, please do 800-313-9443. Boy, this is a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and guys, I don't know, and I'm sure that all listeners of this broadcast are probably thinking just about the same thing that I expressed. Why do we keep having, in a world, ladies and gentlemen, fair is fair. If people go into a match, some sort of physical confrontation with each other, and the Marcus of Queensbury rules were laid down. This is what you could do, this is what you couldn't do, but both sides understood the rules of the game. And if you didn't like the rules of the game, you didn't participate. We're finding out the rules that they've made after, gosh, exhaustive research. When you present this to them right in their face, they should be nice enough to say, well, you did a good job in your research. You're free to go now.
You know, the beautiful thing about these agencies is when they make a mistake, they get belligerent, and then they get more belligerent, and then they get more belligerent. It is not in their training or their nature to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. They just get more belligerent, and they use more force. I've seen it time
because
after time.
Because that would make
them human.
That would make perfect sense, because what they're doing at that point is satisfying the troublemaker, and they're still able to pull the wool over the dupe's eyes.
Absolutely.
But they're not doing that. That shows the level
incapable.
Of arrogance.
They're incapable.
That shows the level of arrogance.
Mm.
Well, you know, there's two kinds of people in the world. Those that want to be left alone, and those that won't leave you alone. And right now, the people that won't leave you alone are the ones that are in control. And, you know, we can either, like I say, submit, or we can figure out how to resist the tyranny. And they're squeezing tighter and tighter and tighter, not just in this country, all over the world. And, you know, everybody's got to decide for themselves how they want to comport themselves.
I'm sure by their own standards, they've already won. Because they've taken over the banking, they've
right.
taken over the legislative branch, they've taken over the judicial, they've taken everything over. The only thing that they don't have to put to cross their T and dot their I on this deal is to put us, the resistors, in the ground. That's their problem right now.
Well, they don't have a lot of our souls. You know, they'll never get that from some of us. They might be able to imprison us. They might be able to kill us, but they're not going to get our souls unless we give it to them.
But we're talking about the only thing that God ever gave us. You know, we didn't come in here. I didn't come into this world as being a fiduciary or a trustee to you, Bill Veith. I came into this life of my own accord. I am my own, and I'm going to go out that way. When I die, I'm not taking you with me or Desi or anybody else. I am my own person here. What we're talking about is dealing with people that refuse to allow you to have your personal freedom and liberty.
That's right.
And I don't care if it's the contract, to spit in the wind and let it hit you in the face, or whatever you want to do, as long as you don't harm anybody else in the process.
Kill them with kindness.
how many rounds does that rifle kindness hold?
But you know, John, history shows that very, very few times in history have the masses been free. I mean, the nature is for the masses to be enslaved.
But not by the people that they elect to a position.
These are not elected officials.
I know they're not, but they think they are, and we think they are, and we cannot be pushed around by people that we put in a government that is supposed to protect us.
Because I'll tell you what, a guy with a gun and a badge and a piece of paper that says he has authority, but he's out there doing the very wrong thing, to me, is nothing more than an obstacle to go over the top of, around, or through. I don't care.
Right.
Folks, we're out of time. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Folks, if you're a praying person, you better pray, because we're in a whole lot of trouble. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.